Greetings. This is a pseudo voicemail. I'm not calling. This is Saturday, but I wanted to. I'll include this in the voicemail link. Try to do a short video because of the events of today. I resolved that I have two people that I see because I'm trying to follow the model, the command of being an episkopos, somebody who. As I point out, James 1:27, someone who visits orphans and widows, and it's blatantly obvious. I would suggest that the Lord has set two particular people in front of me. So I make a conscious effort to do so, and I saw them both today. One was fairly easy, but the other is Miss Lillian, and I haven't seen her in about a week. So I was concerned, and normally I see her outside her house because she's an outdoor kind of person. She does a lot of stuff in her garden and so forth, and she's 93, so extremely healthy for her age. And we talk, we visit. Typically, it's sometimes a few minutes, but more often than not, it's about an hour. But again, I haven't seen her for about a week, and I was concerned, especially as the weather's getting colder, that she might be more indoors. So I had resolved. I was going to walk by her house on the way to the farmer's market, and I figured when I walk back, if I don't see her, I'm going to knock on her door, which I've never done before. But I went to the farmer's market, and it's the second to last weekend, and crowds were hardly anybody there. I was there for over an hour in engaging in conversation, and only one of the customers showed up during that time, which was most unfortunate. However, the conversation was deeper today than before. I brought up, for example, my All Hail the Whistleblower video, and you could see I was getting, I showed a level of, this is a big deal. Because again, that video really got to me. But the other thing we talked about was effectively how culturally we've turned communist. And one of the gentlemen in the conversations, an 83-year-old gentleman, said, yeah, this is, you know, it's obvious. It was interesting. There were four of us in the conversation. So many things. We talked, we had some laughs and things of that nature. There is a clear understanding that we have cultural issues, domestically at least. Post most all of this, I walked with a gentleman who basically runs it. He was picking up the signs talked with him a bit. And he said there was a gentleman that came by shortly after I was there on Thursday, I think. And he said it was his first time there, and he was really encouraged to see this. And the hope, you know, the anticipation is this gentleman will be back, especially considering one week left. He's a black man, married to a white woman. Where have I heard this before? You know, and my thought was, you know, I never pursued this, but this keeps coming to me. So he has my business card to hand it to this gentleman if this gentleman returns. And that was kind of like, is it happening again? Because like I say, I have dealt with several others here on those kind of things. And this, because the difference is, this gentleman apparently is an advocate and leads some sort of small group or something of that nature, reaching out to the black community that I'm guessing the words weren't used, but it's not because they're black, but because they're people. And so I think, you know, maybe I would connect with this guy. So we'll see. But it was a joyful interaction. But the great thing was walking back, I had two people to visit, Lillian and Gary. The visit with Gary was good. The visit with Lillian was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Because as I'm walking by the house, I looked over And I was getting close, and I saw she was outside, and there were others there. And the thing that was delightful, it was waved over. That was an encouraging. I still had a ways to go, but that encouraged me. I felt invited. There was a neighbor who almost immediately left. But the other gentleman there was her younger son. Excuse me, her older son, who was visiting from Chicago. And that was a delight. Because obviously I've never met him before. And, you know, I did find out, because we talked a little bit about Chicago and so forth, because I've described it as West Poland. And he said that basically it remains, you know, because that's where my dad was born. And he says it remains still the largest city outside of Warsaw for a Polish community, which I thought, okay, interesting. So it is still West Poland. But anyway, we had a delightful conversation talking about, and he said, oh yes, my mom talks about you. And after 10, 15 minutes of conversation, which was delightful, a car pulls up. Her other son, who I've never met, who lives local. So today, having resolved to actually knock on her door if I didn't see her, I see her outside, and I meet both of her sons. They're I'm guessing, in their 50s, maybe 60s, I think 50s. And it was a joy. One of the things I found out is that she recently ran a race, a 5K race, and completed the race. And again, the important thing is here is she ran, obviously not very fast, but she ran a 5K race, and she's 93. My assumption is, I didn't get the times this time, but I've seen some of her times in other places. Running 5K, you know, roughly 3 miles, less than 40 minutes for me, I'd beat her walking. But that's not the point. The point is, she did it at 93, which is remarkable. But the other thing that I got to do, and this is one of the things I wanted to share, the whole point of all this is I wanted to share this point, is I am consciously trying to, when I find an opportunity, especially to say, you have, I don't necessarily use the words, but what I'm trying to say is you have shown an obedience to Christ in this area, and I want to encourage you about this. And I was able to say, especially to the younger son, because he's the one who constantly is there visiting his mom, that what he is doing is remarkable and something worthy of respect, because what I will contend, he is living. He is not living. He is the result of her husband living, 1 Timothy 5. Especially verse 8 that I've discussed before. Because I've been accused on this. And what is the purpose of that? Because I've described this before. Provide for the needs of your family. The word provide there is pronoio, which is to prepare beforehand. So Lillian's husband trained their kids to take care of her mom when he's gone, because he's been gone now 3 years, I think. That is fulfilling 1 Timothy 5. And I saw that being lived out by her sons. The one son coming to visit from Chicago just for the weekend, and the other son who visits constantly, at least weekly, runs errands. I mean, one of the things he was doing today was delivering food. That is the result of the obedience of her husband in living 1 Timothy 5:8. It's not the paycheck today. It's preparing for when he's gone. Because, again, that whole passage is about widows and Lillian is a widow. And again, why do I visit her? James 1:27, to visit widows. The role, the duty of the Episcopos. I saw that lived out, and I was able to encourage. Dwight and Dwayne. Got a little interesting story about the names. But anyway, Dwight and Dwayne. I want to somehow, because obviously there's a barrier here, but I want to encourage my kids. I want to prepare beforehand my kids, because sooner or later, whether it's today or it's 30 years from now, my last day will come and I will be gone. I will die. And the odds are my kids will outlive me. And the odds are my wife will outlive me. I want to encourage, prepare my kids. Be ready to take care of my wife, your mom. Don't ever back away from her, abandon her. Don't do what's been done to me, to her. You are called, you know, I'm really concerned about getting long. I was going to be really short here, but let me just bring it up. The 1 Timothy 5. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. So, you know, this obviously says parents, but the important thing here is the context is, you know, the verse before, honor widows who are truly widows. And then verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for the members of his household, he's denied the faith and worse, an unbeliever. Does not provide. This is, again, the pronoio, prepare beforehand. I want to instill that into my kids. It doesn't matter what's happened. It doesn't matter the issues in your life, the issues in my wife's life, the issues in my life. I want to encourage and I want my kids to understand that they have a duty to show godliness to their own household, to make some return to their parents, to their mom specifically, to make sure that my wife, your mom, is taken care of. I saw where Miss Lillian has her sons there. And the important thing is not just the food. You know, they dropped by and brought food. But as I've mentioned, one of the things that she told me, it was last week, I think. She said, besides her sons, you're the only person that visits me. Again, the duty of the Episcopos. Well, whether or not there's somebody else that will visit my wife, that's a separate question. It is the duty of the Episcopos, someone who's matured as a follower of Christ, to visit orphans and widows. The day my wife becomes a widow, because I'm dead, Romans 7, you know, when that occurs, especially at that point and beyond, I want to encourage my kids not just to provide food, but to visit. The interaction with another human being is vital. And one of the most important persons in your life is your mom, my wife. Love her well. To my kids, please, I'm asking you, love my wife.